This is Teresa Trent, and you are listening to Books to the Ceiling, a podcast that features narrated excerpts from new mysteries coming on to the market. Well, this week, we're headed to England, to Bramsford Manor, with the spirit of a dead bride, ghost hunters, and a foreboding white rabbit. A fatal feast at Bramsford Manor is a perfect cozy mystery choice for the month of October. Now here's a little more about the book. While filming at a haunted English manor, Chef Bunny McBride's big break on her first reality TV show may be cut short by an unscripted murder in Darcy Hannah's new Food and Spirits cozy mystery series. It isn't how Chef Bridget Bunny McBride imagined her own cooking show unfolding, but if preparing historic meals with a modern flair is what it takes to get her cooking on the air, she can deliver, even if her dinner guest is a ghost. That's the premise of the new reality TV show, Food and Spirits, where Chef Bunny teams up with ghost hunter Brett Bloom and psychic medium Giff McGrady to visit haunted locales around the world and tempt lingering spirits back to the table with a beloved meal. For their first episode, the Food and Spirits team sets off to investigate Bramsford Manor, a historic house-turned-famously haunted hotel in picturesque Hampshire, England. The sprawling estate is said to be home to the Mistletoe Bride, a young woman who died in the 18th century, the victim of a tragic accident on her Christmas wedding night. Disliking spooks but loving food, Bunny leaves the spectral search to the pros and focuses on the feast, creating a traditional English holiday wedding dinner complete with a gorgeous prime rib, Yorkshire pudding, and rustic apple tarts. It's a sumptuous meal she hopes will entice the ghostly mistletoe bride to take a seat and join them while the cameras roll. But Bunny's task is made more difficult when someone steals a boning knife from her custom kit. Alas, when the blade finally turns up again, in the chest of an all-too-human dinner guest, Bunny's woes only grow as she is named a lead suspect in the case. Now, with a haunted house full of living residents, staff, and crew, Bunny will need the help of Brett, Giff, and her clairvoyant Grandma Mac to solve this murder before the manor gains another ghost. And now here is an excerpt from A Fatal Feast at Bramsford Manor. "Morning, Bunny," Lily greeted her with a bright smile. "Your orjuice is the talk of the kitchen. I checked it and it's reducing nicely." "Why, thank you, Lily. It smells grand, and it's just the thing to accompany that succulent meat. Now to get the roast just right." "You'll have no problem there," Lily said with confidence. "Before I forget, Callum Digby, the maitre d', wanted to talk to you about the table setting for tonight's ghost feast. He asked if you'd meet him in the manor's formal dining room. It's going to be stunning." "You know, I wasn't keen on this food-baiting, ghost-hunting show, but I have to admit that I quite like it."
"It's all in good fun, Bunny," Lily assured her. "Maybe we have a ghost or three that haunt these walls, but that's all a part of the Bramsford charm. Now, tell me, what do you need me to do?"
Bunny was grateful for the chaos of the kitchen. After discussing the table setting with Mr. Digby, including instructions for the extra place setting and, per Brett, a white sheet to cover the spirit chair, she was back in the kitchen for a filmed interview with Marcus Bean, Sir Charles Wallingford, and Lily Plum. The four discussed what a historic Christmas wedding feast might have looked like in Anne Copeland's day and how the food and cooking methods had evolved since then. After that, everyone but Cody left Bunny alone in the kitchen to do her thing. Bunny was used to having cameras in her kitchen and didn't give much thought as she set about cleaning the vegetables. She was just about to slice the carrots and parsnips into 2-inch-long chunks for roasting when she unrolled her leather knife roll and saw that one of her precious knives was missing. Certain it had been there the day before, Bunny turned to Lily, who was working at the island counter, and asked,
"I seem to be missing a knife. It's not here. Do you know if anyone's found a knife recently?"
Lily looked alarmed.
What do you mean a knife has gone missing? It's not in your knife kit?
Bunny showed her the thick leather roll.
It's not here. It's my boning knife. I used it yesterday to remove the ribs from the roast. I specifically remember cleaning it and putting it back with the others.
Lily immediately made an announcement in the kitchen, and everyone working at their stations began searching for the missing knife. When the entire kitchen had been scoured, Lily turned to Bunny.
I'm so sorry. I can't imagine anyone working here would do such a thing. There's no point in taking your knife. We'll keep our eyes peeled. However, I should probably tell you that things do have a habit of disappearing only to turn up later. I wish I had a better explanation for it other than the fact that Bramsford is haunted.
Not helpful, Bunny said, backing away. She had never heard of a knife-snatching ghost, but couldn't rule it out. The world, after all, was full of strange happenings. She consoled herself with the fact that it was only her boning knife. With its long, thin, perfectly balanced blade, she couldn't imagine why anyone would want it, unless they were deboning a whole chicken. At least it wasn't her trusty chef's knife, her 6-inch utility knife, or her paring knife. Pushing all thoughts of her missing knife aside, Bunny turned to the long counter beneath the windows and concentrated on the night's intricate dinner. The kitchen was her happy place, and Bunny marveled again at how nice it felt to work in Bramsford's modernized scullery alongside Lily. It helped that it was a beautiful autumn day. Sunlight streamed through the windows, illuminating the festive punch bowl of wassail Bunny was putting the finishing touches on. Cody, having taken more than enough footage for a cooking montage and after sampling the wassail, had left with Brett to set up for the dumb supper, only technically they'd be talking. That was just fine with Bunny. However, when she went to the sink to wash her hands, she happened to look out the window. That was when something on the lawn caught her eye. An odd, surreal feeling washed over her at the same moment, causing her hands to shake. She closed her eyes, thinking it was just her imagination. However, when she opened them again, it was still there, sitting prettily on the lawn while nibbling clover. The white rabbit. As if sensing her, its long ears wiggled before turning its head. It looked like it was staring directly at her. "No," Bunny anxiously whispered. "You're not really there. It's just my imagination." But it was there, clear as day. It was just a rabbit, a wee white rabbit, which on any green lawn appeared odd. Yet, that was only the half of it. She knew that symbolically a white rabbit was good luck. It meant love, tenderness, inner power. That made her laugh because to her, whenever the white rabbit had appeared, it meant quite the opposite. It was a reminder of her greatest tragedy. As Bunny stared at the ridiculously harmless rabbit, visions and memories of that day long ago came flooding back, a moment that had changed her world forever. She felt the cold water lapping around her, sucking her under, closing over her until her lungs burned. It was just a memory, but the ache in her heart was real. Gripping the edge of the sink, Bunny took a series of deep, cleansing breaths, fighting to expunge the vision before turning to Lily. With a forced smile, she asked, Do you by chance see a white rabbit on the lawn? With a questioning look, Lily walked to the sink and looked out the window. A moment later, she turned to Bunny. No, all I see are a flurry of scattered leaves. Why? Another glance out the window confirmed Bunny's suspicions. The white rabbit was gone. It must have been a trick of the light. I thought I saw a white rabbit out there.
That would be something, Lily said, brushing off the notion. We have plenty of wild rabbits here, but I've never seen a white one.
Indeed, because the white rabbit was that rare. It was exactly what she had been afraid of. Running away had helped. So, too, had shunning all thoughts of the macabre. Yet she had played with fire by coming back to the UK, and it was just as she had feared, likely worse. Bunny could ignore the messenger, the white rabbit.
but she could not ignore the visceral sense of doom that had settled into her bones. "Damn you," she said to the imaginary rabbit, and kept chopping. And that was an excerpt from A Fatal Feast at Bramsford Manor. A Fatal Feast at Bramsford Manor is available through Kensington Publishing, or you can go directly to Amazon. And I will leave the links for those online retailers in the notes for this podcast. Now here's a little more about our author. Cozy mystery author Darcy Hanna is a native of the Midwest and currently lives in a small town in Michigan. Darcy is a lifelong lover of the Great Lakes, a natural wonder that inspires many of her stories. When Darcy isn't baking for family and friends, hiking with her furry pals, Ripley and Finn, or concocting her next cozy mystery, she can be found wandering around picturesque lakeside villages with her hubby, sampling baked goods and breaking for coffee more often than she should. You can learn more about Darcy and her books at darcyhanna.com. That's all we have this week at Books to the Ceiling. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to tell other mystery readers about us. You can also follow us, rate, or review us on whatever podcast platform you listen to. Thank you so much for stopping by, and I hope to see you again next week with a new mystery on Books to the Ceiling.